We bring in Jim Chones with the Cleveland Cavaliers Radio Network. Jim, thank you very much for joining us today. How are you?
I'm doing fine, guys. I hope you don't mind the background music.
Oh, that's all right. Hey, you know what?
We love it.
Yeah, we love background music. Background music can always add a little more flair to the show, no question about that. Jim, of course, joining us from the friendly confines of Portland, where the Cavaliers are taking on the Trailblazers tonight. You can hear it right here on AM 930 WEOL, beginning at 930 with the pregame show. Well, of course, Jim, Cavaliers coming off their first win in quite a while, beating the Lakers 101-95 a few days ago. And we'll start right there. What were some of your major takeaways from that Cavalier victory beating the Lakers?
Well, a couple of things hit me right away. The first thing was that they were competitive from the beginning of the game to the end. So their consistency of play, I thought, was amazing. The second thing is that they played defense first, and they played defense on every possession down the floor. They were defensive-minded, and it helped them to control the pace of the game. The only time the Lakers led, I think the score was 3-4, something like that. But the Cavs played tough. Everybody that played contributed.
Yeah, no doubt about that. And I think if you look at the box score, you'll see just how many contributed, the entire starting five scoring in double figures. One of the guys that stood out to me as well was Jetty Osman. Boy, he had really been struggling quite a bit heading into that game on Sunday. What did you notice that was different about him? Because he really performed well.
Well, it's something that he's been building on, but he hadn't been consistent with it. If you've noticed, he always starts out putting the ball on the floor, trying to get to the rim. And then he sort of fades in the second half when they deny him that. He starts settling for jump shots. So he's made the adjustment, and the adjustment was sort of easy for him because the Cavs were giving the Lakers either one shot at the basket or the Lakers were turning the ball over and the Cavs were able to run it out. So he played a lot in space where you don't have to make a lot of decisions. You either go or you don't. And I just thought he was magnificent from beginning to end. His intensity on both sides of the ball, I thought, was great.
Yeah, tough to dispute that. He played a terrific game on Sunday. Another guy who played extraordinarily well was Colin Sexton, and I guess we could ask the same kind of question because in weeks past, you know, we've talked a lot about how he certainly struggled, and we were kind of wondering if maybe he had hit that rookie wall, but he shot the ball a lot better on Sunday.
Well, his decision-making was good. You know, we did the post-game with him, so we had a chance to talk to him. And I said, Colin, this is the best game you've played as a Cavalier. And he looked at me, his eyes got big, because he's a young player. They're still caught up in scoring points. But the way that he scored, you know, he mixed his game up. You know, he made big-time baskets. That drive off the baseline for a layup in an early transition, I thought, was one of the keys to us keeping our lead when the Lakers were trying to come back and make a run. I thought his passing, you know, early in the game, he let the game come to him rather than forcing his game. All of those things, I think, contributed to his overall play.
Again, we're talking with Jim Chones with the Cleveland Cavaliers Radio Network. You can hear Jim and John Michael tonight, 9:30 pregame, 10 o'clock tip time as the Cavaliers take on the Portland Trailblazers. Three more games left, including this one tonight on this West Coast swing for the Cavaliers. I want to get into another guy that played really well on Sunday, but also a guy that has done fairly well defensively, and he's certainly taking on a number of tough tasks defensively, and that's Alec Burks. But, you know, ever since the Cavaliers received him in that trade for Kyle Korver a while back, it just seems as though he has really delivered almost on a nightly basis for the Cavaliers.
Yeah, and I think you're right. And I think the uniqueness of it is that he came into a tough situation. You know, he had always, you know, been a Utah player. And then all of a sudden he's thrust into it to play for a team that's really struggling, that hadn't found itself, that hadn't found an identity. But he won the big game in Brooklyn for us. At the buzzer, he got the dunk, and that sort of raised expectations. Then he played well for about 10 games. The opponents adjusted, and he struggled for the next 10 games, just couldn't make shots. But I've seen him work hard before, during, and after practice. And over the last 10 or 12 games, they've been playing him at the point guard. You know, he's the one who handles the ball the most. He's become the ball handler to either get us in our offense. And he's been making threes, you know, since the new year. He's shooting 52% from three-point range. So his shot has improved. He's learned to orchestrate the offense from a point guard position, giving Sexton some time at the two. He's taken over the duties of guarding the toughest out-front scorer. You know, the other night he had to guard Harden, and he's guarded Kemba, and he's guarded Conley, some of the better scoring point guards in our league. And I thought he was competitive enough, you know, at his own position, you know, to warrant more time. And that's what he's been getting.
Jim, how hard truly is that transition from coming over from one team in Utah, starting the season there, learning one system or playing one system, to kind of changing it up and having to be more of a veteran leader for this group of young guys in Cleveland?
Yeah, you're right there, too. You know, I just think it's an attitude, and it shows you what kind of person he is. You know, when you've only played for one team and all of a sudden you're in Cleveland rather than Salt Lake City, you know, it has to be a shock. You know, because of where they're going and then what we're trying to be. So. But he's made the adjustment, you know, and that's to his credit. And that's the kind of kids you want. You want what we call character kids, you know, who can overcome a struggle and be productive. You know, he's not just a player now with us. He has become truly an asset, you know, for this Cavalier team.
How much do you feel like after Sunday's game that there may have been a little bit of relief? I mean, of course, at the professional level, you know, it's business as usual, but losing streaks are exhausting. You know, this was a 12-game slide for the Cavaliers. Did you sense,
right,
you know, any kind of relief afterwards being around those guys?
Well, the day before, the practice was energetic. The guys were loose, but they worked hard. They were enthusiastic. They did a lot of shooting stuff. Not a lot of up and down the floor stuff. There's a lot of shooting games and shooting drills. So the spirits were high. It just shows you the effect of positive emotions. You're going into the forum, the floor is lit up. You know, the grandstands and everything are darkened. You know, Arsenio Hall sitting across from you and some of the other big-time stars. And it motivates these young players to play. I just thought that they didn't play over their head, but they played up to their ability, and I think that was the difference.
Jordan Clarkson is a name that we've discussed a lot in our recent conversations, and, you know, he has been the Cavaliers' most consistent scorer throughout the course of the season. And I want to throw a question at you here, Jim. I know that it's been talked about, albeit briefly, before. Has there been any talk about maybe starting him, or do you think that that's not a good idea because he has been so incredibly successful coming off the bench?
Yeah, I think his success has gotten him into the bench role, and I'll tell you why. Because of where we are with inexperience and injuries and maybe just not up to par as far as overall talent, we depend on that bench to erase any mistakes that the starting five comes into as far as their matchups. We're not going to live and die with our starters, but that bench and the combinations we can take from the bench to add to our starters has been an integral part of us being competitive every night. It's a fundamental way of how we have to play. And Clarkson is a huge part of that. You know, we don't have enough balls for he and Rodney and all the other guys that start to be getting the ball early, at least in the first quarter. Clarkson comes in. He's in with a good, solid mix of starters, and it allows him to do what he does best. And what he does best is he can get a shot. He can get his own shot. That is huge in our league. And those guys are valuable. They can get their own shot. You don't have to run plays for them. You don't have to patronize them. You just got to put them out there on the floor, and they can generate offense. So he's become a fundamental part of the strength of this team, which has been our bench all season.
In a year where, you know, a team has only won 9 games to this point, certainly it could be tough to scrape some positives. However, I would argue that he has been perhaps the biggest surprise so far. Not that we didn't think he could score. We knew that he could. He showed some flashes last year. But, well, Jim, it really seems like Jordan Clarkson, above all else, really kind of transformed his game, and it began by changing his entire diet in the offseason.
Well, I talked to him, and he said that he spent a lot of time with Kobe when he was there with the Lakers. And I heard that he spent a lot of time with Kobe this summer, trying to get that aggressiveness, trying to find out which shots are best for him based upon his own mentality. And you can see a little Kobe in him. You know, he's determined. He's tough. He definitely has been our most consistent player. And then I would say in the last month since Tristan's been back, I would say Tristan Thompson, just before he got hurt in the last couple of games, he's coming on again. He's just a double-double machine. But those two in particular have really stood out in a season where we have been struggling because just because of the dynamics of how we played in the past based upon where we are right now, those two have really shown great leadership qualities.
Well, let's stay on the topic of Tristan Thompson. As you mentioned, boy, he's been on a roll right now, and he's certainly been praised throughout the year for what he's done on the floor and off the floor as well. You know, behind the scenes, people are really talking extensively about what Tristan has done from a leadership perspective. What kinds of things have you seen? Maybe during games, off camera, in practice, things like that. What kinds of things have you seen Tristan do taking on this leadership role that maybe the rest of us can't?
Well, you see it because I've always said the best leaders lead by example. They let their actions speak for their words, you know, and that's the best way for young players to learn. More, it's not so much what you say to me, it's what you do. And so Tristan has been a prime example of that. Now, he will talk, especially on the defensive side of the ball, if guys make a mistake and they need to correct it or a big stop is needed, and he'll tell everybody where they should be. So those things haven't changed. But just by his actions and then his commentaries after the game and post-game and his stuff that he says in pre-game, it's all team stuff, man. It's all oriented toward us winning some games and us getting closer as a team. That's why the road is such a beautiful thing, because you're on the road, you're an alien place, and you have to depend on each other. And I just think it helps us all the way around. Tristan is our leader. There's no question about it. He leads his team, and not so much what he says, but by what he does on the floor. He's fearless. He has courage. He's physical. He's all those positive things that young players need to observe and see.
Yeah, and it's very difficult to debate the success he's had on the floor. As you mentioned, Jim, he has been a double-double machine throughout the course of the season. Cavaliers taking on the Portland Trail Blazers a little bit later on tonight. Cavs enter this thing as fairly sizable underdogs. What elements or matchup particularly are you looking forward to in tonight's contest?
Well, our biggest concern is everybody's concern. Lillard and McCollum, you know, how do you slow them down? You can't let both of them have great nights because they'll bury you. So you have to minimize them. If you can get through their starting five and make them have to play the bench players, we have a lot better chance of being effective. They've only got one player who's a plus on the plus-minus coming off the bench, and that's Seth. I think it's Seth Curry. I think it's Seth. Yeah, Seth Curry. He's having an outstanding year. As of about 4 days ago, he was leading the league in three-point shooting at 49%. You know, but their bench struggles. Their bench really struggles. So we got to get them to go to their bench. And when they do that, then we'll have a chance to win the game.
Certainly looking forward to it tonight. Again, 9:30 pregame, 10 o'clock tip time. Cavaliers and the Portland Trailblazers. The Cavaliers have two more games after this one on this West Coast swing, and then they come back home next Monday to take on the Bulls. Jim, a pleasure as always, my friend. Thank you so much for the time. Safe travels on that trip, and we'll talk to you again next week.
Thank you. You're welcome.
Thank you, Jim. Again, Jim Jones with the Cleveland Cavaliers Radio Network joining us here on Bullseye on the Afternoon. And, well, some optimism there for the Cavaliers. Hopefully, they can respond with another win against the Blazers tonight.